Thank you for this morning and this opportunity to be here, and just please be with this lesson and this service, and just please help to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to start this morning with your verses. Sylvester, we're going to let you go first and then work all the way around.
When the children of Israel came back from captivity, they married heathen wives, and Ezra came and was very ashamed, amazed and ashamed before God, and they didn't break their marriage. Uzziah was a good king, and he became strong. He also became proud and went into the temple to burn incense, which was unlawful. The high priest and Ahab priest came to stop him, but he got angry. And then suddenly they saw that he got leprosy. He fled from the temple and did.
Jonah disobeyed God, but God told him to go to the world, but he did. They got through the water and he got swallowed by a big fish. And they stayed there for 3 days and 3 nights. They got scary, but they were supposed to go.
And Joshua and his men were destroying Jericho, and Achan stole a wedge of gold and 200 shekels of silver and a garment, and they weren't supposed to get stuff, and he got it and hid it under his tent. And when they destroyed Ai, they were having trouble because they were sitting in the camp, and then Joshua found out and they sent him.
The Israelites were supposed to wait for Moses to come down from the mountain. They were too impatient, so they had to lead them to the camp, and they worshipped it in 3,000.
Jonah, God told him to preach, and he didn't, and he got all by the way after 3 days.
They wouldn't know he was the king, but something shot an arrow randomly and happened to hit him and he died.
The children of Israel were worshiping the golden calf, but they were supposed to worship God, and Moses told them to burn the gold in the powder, and then he put it into the water and used to drink.
Jonah was trying to run away from God on a ship and then got lost. Then he got swallowed by a big whale.
Jesus said, "How did you get here?" And so he said to his servants, "Come upstairs and take a little bit of darkness."
Okay, can you boys tell me what chapter we're in this morning? John, what chapter are we in? Chapter 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them that be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercies, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. I want to note here that up to this point, it seems as though he's been praying. The next few verses, it seems as though he's kind of going to shift into talking about the nature of God and kind of how he is with his people. Starting in verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell in ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve thee, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of my troubles. I want to note here in verse 2 and verse 20, he kind of ends and begins his prayer on the same note. Both verses. I want Matthew, read verse 2 for us out loud. Read verse 2 for us out loud. Jeffrey, will you read verse 20 out loud for us?
O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you.
Arthur, can you tell us one sentence out of that verse that lines up out of verse 2 and verse 20 that's the exact same wording?
What?
Can you tell us out of verse 2 and verse 20 a phrase that's the exact same wording out of each verse? Verse 2 and verse 20. David, can you tell us? There, very good. Can anyone find another one in there that is the exact same? Got it? Verse 2 and verse 20. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Then verse 20. O keep my soul, deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. I put my trust in thee is the second phrase in that. I also want to note here how it seems like while he was praying in this chapter, that he just seemed like he was afflicted quite a bit, had a lot of his enemies were increasing on him, and it seemed like he just drew more closer to God as that all happened, instead of falling away. Just being encouragement to you to, when things get harder, to draw closer instead of falling away or looking somewhere else. I do not have a lesson for you for next week. I will let you know on that this evening. You're dismissed.
All right, big boy, come up front.
was about this morning.
God is this huge tyrant, but that's not the way that God is.
And I was thinking about that after we left. I dropped Norman and Leroy off, and then just made me think of the verse. I thought it was in 1 John, but it's in John 17:3. I looked up this morning. It says, Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they may know the only true God, and Jesus Christ, His Son." And that's, you know, the evangelicals would probably interpret that verse to be like, oh yeah, if you just know that Jesus died for you, you know that God loves you, and it doesn't matter what you do. But I just, like, there's no way that's what he's saying. What he's saying is that you're going to know the only true God that created the world so that He could have glory in the people that would say, "Unto Thee, O Lord, we commit our souls, because You are the only true judge of righteousness. You are the only one who deserves the worship, because You haven't changed Your ways and other men have gone astray for power or pride or greed or lust of women. You've stayed the same, and we're going to commit our soul to You because we see that." We might not understand it all, and I know I don't understand it all, but I know that the words of the Lord are eternal, and You can't. There's life in them, and I can't explain that all, but it just, I can see that that's what Jesus is trying to say, that we would know God, in whom only is life. And that's just what I was thinking about. That's not my point.
Last night, later on, kind of looked at the stars and thinking about how amazing all God's creation is, and He could have just made it real, real boring and plain. And I grew up being taught almost that, you know, once you die, then you'll just forget about this whole earth, and you're in the spiritual realm, and you won't worry about anything that happened before. But I thought I'd really like to know. Or just see God's creation. I don't just want to leave it and forget about it. There's so much to see, and I just thought it'd be real neat for God to just show us maybe one day all the creation. And then I went and read some of the early Christian dictionary, and Origen talked about that exact thing. He said that God would just show us why this star is this far apart from this star, and it was just pretty neat how it was just right along with what I've been thinking about.
All right, we've got about